Let me give you a warm welcome to Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church as we gather here this evening to bring God's precious and infallible truth. If you're Bible there, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14, and we're going to read the first seven verses in this passage of Scripture this evening. John 14, we'll read from verse 1 through to the verse number 7. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word for his wonderful name's sake. Let's just seek the Lord with the word of prayer. Let's come before God. We'll ask the Lord to give help in the preaching of God's precious word. Pray the Lord will help as we come to the gospel message. The Lord will speak to many hearts. Let's just seek God in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we come afresh into thy presence again this day. We thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changes lives. We thank thee, O God, as we come before thee, that thou would give help to the preacher. We pray that you would give help to the listener as well. O Lord, we pray that as the gospel message goes forth in this community, Lord, as the gospel message goes forth and across the internet, may we have signs following the preaching of thy precious and infallible truth. Lord, do dwell with us and give help from above, knowing that thou art able to deliver men, women, and young people from their sins and show them their need of salvation. Lord, we pray that there would be a people who call upon Christ, knowing the word of God tells us, ye must be born again. Lord, we thank thee for that gospel message which goes forth. O Lord, calling people to repent of their sins, to not only repent of their sins, but call upon a wonderful Savior. Be born again through Jesus Christ, O Lord. O Lord, we think of the scriptures which are indicating to us, the Bible tells us that thy word is a light on our feet, a lamp onto our path. We thank thee that we have, O Lord, a light for our feet. We thank thee, O Lord, we have that, O Lord, lamp onto our pathway that we can walk upon thy way. Lord, I pray for someone listening to thy word this night. Lord, as you shall speak to their hearts, that you will draw them away from themselves. And, O Lord, draw their hearts unto thee. O Lord, knowing that there is a Redeemer who is Jesus Christ. Lord, open up the hearts. We think of Lydia's of old. Pray that you'll draw people, O God, their hearts will open as well. We think, O God, of the Philippian jailer who said, what must I do to be saved? O Lord, we pray that there would be a soul crying unto thee this night. Lord, answer prayer. Dwell with us. Lord, lead and guide and help this preacher as we bring thy word, O Lord, this night. We thank thee for the reading of scriptures in John chapter 14. O Lord, do bless us. Do us good. And use us for thy honor and for thy glory. Lord, knowing that we need help from above, Lord, answer prayers and save precious souls, we pray to thee in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In the verses of scripture which are before us, they've been set out that something is confirmed. The reality that Christ is the Redeemer. Christ is speaking here to his disciples, and as he's speaking to them, it's unique because we're getting an insight to a conversation with the disciples and the Savior. It's a conversation that all around people all around this world need to hear. But in that moment, the disciples are feeling kind of left out. They're living in uncertain days. And they need some joy. And as they gather before Jesus, it's a joy that he encourages them in the things of God, showing them for what's ahead of them. But they've been through times of discouragement. There's a little song which is often sung. It's always darkest before the dawn. Don't be discouraged, but carry on. He'll not forsake you, the sun will break through. It's always darkest before the dawn. That's true. When in the morning is dawning, the new day, we get encouraged that the next day might be better than the one before. And as the disciples were on a crossroads on this day, not knowing, not understanding their future, the Savior comes with a word in season to their hearts. Judas has just left the company of people. And as Judas has left, and now Christ announces that his departure is now at hand. He tells him what to come to pass. Peter denies back in chapter number 13. You find that in verse number 36. It says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why canst I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And there we find that they're in a time which there's much concern, there's a thought process. And I believe the message we have to preach is a message that needs to be heard. Because you need to hear the truth. Christ brings these following verses, and this verse 1 through to the verse number 7. He brings their attention to godly things, that they would know what their future would be, that they would know what Christ would go to heaven and what Christ would do. And they would know that it's because of Christ and the work of Christ and him being completed that he will prepare a place of glory for those in him. And in this passage of scripture, we see the Savior begins to comfort the disciples. And he gives comfort to the people because here there's words of comfort at what he has done for them and what he will do for them and what he will come again. And they followed him because they believed he was and is the Son of God. And Christ encourages them to follow after him and to follow his word. And to follow truth. He also encourages them because they are fully aware of who Christ is and about being born again. And they come with confidence knowing that Christ, who is indicating here that he must needs go to the cross. Now we see a glimpse of the glory. A prepared place, a place of rest. A place which we can call home. A place where the Father resides. A place that is only found through Christ Jesus. And the prospects of greater things and blessings. Look at the Bible says in verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. We find there's confidence that there's a Father's house, there's mansions, and it's not made by human hands. And you know something? Whenever someone makes something with human hands, over time it begins to crumble. But this is different. This is made by God, and that brings the confidence. It's prepared for those who are saved, those that know and love the Lord. And Christ confirms here that he's going to heaven to prepare a place for all those who come to him. But there's an added confidence in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ will receive them. And there we find that there's confidence in God's ways. Confidence in God's ways. And if we have confidence in God's ways, if we have confidence in God's word, just as the disciples had confidence in God's word, then we will have confidence that Christ will return. Confidence that those that are saved are children of the Lord. Confidence that his children will be with him in glory. Confidence that Jesus knows the way. Look at verse 4. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And here we find that this chapter, we see Jesus speaks to his disciples, and they believe. And in verse 5, Thomas asks an important question that I believe people need to hear. Or a number of questions that people need to hear. And just in case you missed what Thomas asked, I want you to read verse 5 with me once again. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Thomas asks questions which need to be asked. And Thomas asks questions which need to be understood. And firstly, he asks the question, we know not. Here we find that Thomas has a concern in his life. He's a concern. Yes, there was a desire to understand. Yes, there was a desire to have the information. But Thomas is looking. He was looking for the correct word in season. And he directs his question to the Savior because he knew he could rely on God's word. He knew that he could rely on what Jesus said. He could rely on what Jesus said to be true. But he didn't know the way ahead. Thomas has been listening, just as like the rest of the disciples, they've been listening. And they've been attentive to the word of Christ and what Christ spake. But he desires more. He desires more. He desires to have more. And that shows us that people, they can come into a church. They can listen here on the internet. And some people ask for more. They ask to understand more. But others can go in and come out the way they come in. Because they have no relationship with Christ. That's not Thomas here. Thomas desires to learn more. And he begins to ask some questions. And he asks this question, take notice. Verse number 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We know not whither thou goest. And Christ has told them that he's going to go away. Christ has told them that that there's a mansion prepared, there's a home in heaven. He says, we know not whither thou goest. They said a moment ago, yes, Christ will go. But Thomas begins to speak, and he speaks and brings the word, whether it's from himself or whether it's the hearts of the disciples around about him. But he speaks up and he wants to know, why are you going? Why are you leaving? Why are you going away? And where are you going to? And in reality, Thomas is being honest. As I would like you to be yourself before the Lord. He's basically saying, going where? And he's indicating that he needs help because he wants to know the way. And he begins to plead with him. He says, how can I know? And he feels feeble. And he feels here like he lacks understanding. And maybe you say, but preacher, he's a disciple. Yes, he was, but he's still like you and I. And as he's gathered there, he's unable to capture fully the details of the conversation. And he speaks these words, and he brings you to what you need to know right now. And he looks for it in simple terms. I want to go to heaven. How can I get there? And he's able to capture that thought, and he's worried that the one he knows to be the Son of God is going away from him. Maybe he's afraid he won't follow after. And there we see there's a great concern with the life of Thomas. But I wonder if you're listening this evening, and you're listening to this message, is there a same concern upon your own heart? Is there a concern with you? Do you have a concern that you might have the wrong information? And if you have ever thought about the things of God but never listened to his word? Maybe someone's brought the word of God to you, but you've never actually listened, and they try to tell you. And today you're in your home, and you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven. Thomas asks the Savior these questions. And then he asks one more. He says, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way, Lord? We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And that points to concern. Thomas is willing to be forward enough to ask the question, I want to know the way. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be in heaven. And the concern hits me as I read this verse. He says, I know the way. Christ. But I want to know the way to be in heaven. Trouble comes. Verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. He said, whenever trouble comes, believe in God. He was indicating it. Comfort of God's salvation and salutation, a home prepared. Are prepared for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Thomas is looking forward to it. He's heard the Savior presented, and he asks the question, but how can I get there? How can we know the way? And there's the important message. We see the confidence we have in Christ's response. And I want you to think of that this evening as the question goes forth, as Thomas is considering. He's asking for the way. He's saying that he needs understanding of the way. And he looks at him and he calls him Lord, recognizing who Jesus is. And then we have the way to come to Christ. Now bringing to your attention the confidence this evening. The Bible tells us that after Thomas stopped speaking, after Thomas considered this matter, as Thomas had concern upon his heart, and I pray you've got that same concern this evening upon your heart, but as Thomas has finished speaking after considering this matter, we find that Jesus brings it simply to his heart. It says in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the only way. And you know what did there? That brought confidence to the disciples. And in this world today, they have presented so many ways to have eternal matters sorted. They reject this way, they reject that way, they reject the other way. But the Bible says there's only one way. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And before I quote a few verses from Matthew chapter 7, I want to finish my sentence. The Bible tells us that there is one way to heaven, that's through Christ. And in Matthew, as we think of them, Christ is indicating there in John, but after Matthew chapter 7, Christ indicates to us that there's an insight to this matter. The one way. Look at verse number 7. Or verse 13, sorry, of chapter 7 of Matthew. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Heaven or hell? The gate is straight. The way is broad. And the way is set out for many people, and it looks better because many people will be with them upon that road and on that way. They say, I want to do it my way, and the broad way is unique because everybody's going upon it. We want to be unique in our own way. We want to gather, and everybody can be unique in that road. Yes, the broad road has got many pleasures. Yes, the broad road has got many things going on in it. But as you take notice of God's word, we find that as there's a way which seemeth right unto man, the Bible tells us. And that's wrong. Their way's wrong, because it may be your way of getting to heaven, but the word of God tells us if you're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord, you must go God's way. Because this way indicates to you in Matthew chapter 7, yes, there's a broad way. Yes, there is that straight gate. Yes, there is a wide gate and a broad way. But the Bible says it leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. There are many people that will walk upon that road. And many people who willfully follow that pathway because it seems to them as a better option. The Bible says it leads to destruction. Now suddenly the road, the broad road, doesn't seem to be the right road as it leads to destruction. And the Bible says that many there be that go in thereat. Then look at verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find the narrow way, God's way. But not many people will follow that way. But praise God for those who do. For they're promised everlasting life. No fear of destruction, but joy and peace and assurance with God. And it says, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But the few will have joy. Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And before you miss it this evening, there is a remedy for your sins. Jesus is the only way to have salvation. He is the only way that you can be justified. And through him alone is the only way to be accepted as a child of God. There's no other way. There is no room for other ways except for through Christ. And the other great thought here is that Jesus says, I am, signifying that he is in the Godhead. He is the Father. There is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one God. And the Bible indicates a way, indicates other ways. And many try to keep people from going the way. For example, in John, in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 2, you read these words. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 2. And they desired of him letters of Damascus to the synagogues, that if they were found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bond into Jerusalem. And they tried to keep people from going that way. To go on that way. Look in Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. And the verse number 22. Here's Felix, and we know the consideration of Felix. He trembled. Verse 22 of Acts chapter 24. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of the matter, of your matter. And we find that Felix heard the way, but Felix trembled because he knew Christ's way was truth. But what about you this evening? Do you, like Felix, know the way? But will you be like him and reject the truth and reject everlasting life? Now we find not only is there the way, but there's the truth. And as Christ brings this simple answer to Thomas's question, when Thomas' question asks, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He says, I am the way, but now he says, I am the truth. He continues. And that brings confidence to the weary hearted. Confidence to the weary hearted. The only way to find truth is to first read God's word, read the Bible, or come to a Bible-based preaching house where we will preach Christ crucified, rose from the dead, sits at the right hand of God, and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, whenever we're presented with truth, we're presented with knowledge. Meaning that the know-how to get to heaven as is essential to get the truth. For when you come and get truth, and when you trust in the truth, you will know Christ. And the word truth here indicates that Christ is not only true, but that Christ is true himself. And if Christ is the source of truth, it is Christ alone who communicates the truth, saving men and women today. So we ask the question, where do we find that truth? In Christ. In the life of Christ, in the death of Christ, in the teaching of Christ, in the word of Christ. And if you look to Christ, and you'll find that Christ perfectly presented to us the way we must come regarding our eternity. He willingly gave himself for our sins. That in believing him, and that means believing the truth, we shall be made free. Let me explain to you something more. How can I say that Jesus is the truth? Firstly, by reading verse 6, Christ talks about the way as being the only way. And if you think about it, Christ is perfect. He has not sinned, and he was constant in his communion with the Father. And he was foreordained that he should go to the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And he told us if we come to him as a sinner, repenting of our sin, then he would bring us unto himself. And the record of Christ is true. But ye have not received him. I was thinking of the words of John 8. John 8 verse 31. We find that he proclaims the truth. As well, in that passage of scripture, John 8 and the verse number 31, it says, Jesus saith unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. And he says there's a truth. Here's confirmation to establish the truth, establishing the fact that God's word is true. Verse 31 confirms there's belief, confirms forgiveness of sin. It confirms we take things to the Lord. We shall be made free, plucked as a firebrand from this burning, and we shall be set free. But look at verse 32 of that same chapter, John 8. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that a wonderful message? Christ, who is the truth, confirms to us what the truth says, that ye shall be made free. The truth will make you free from your bondage of sin. Again, in that chapter we were just reading, John 8, look at verse number 34. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son never shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall be brought out of bondage. And you can read on in verse 43 to verse 45 of that same chapter, as you'll be brought free from sin. But Jesus said, I am the way, he is the truth. And if Christ indicates it, and if we can show through Scripture how Christ is indicated, then will you not seek him? Will you not seek him this evening? Then there's continuing on in the answer, the simplicity and the confidence they can have in Christ Jesus, the way to find life in verse number 16, or chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that proclaims confidence. Each and every person wants to live a long life. We don't want our life to be cut off short. We don't want to be here just for a short season. But that's the truth. Life is but a vapor. It appeareth a little time and vanisheth away. Sometime soon. That we will be just like that, a vapor that vanisheth away. There's a song in a hymn book which says, life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of the sheaf, be in time. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and that fatal line be passed. Be in time. You know, the Bible says in John 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death awaits, but there's life, an eternal life, offered if we come to Christ. And many people look at other things, and look at other places, and they look at other things. And they say, I want to be the soul of the party. But it doesn't last. But there's real life offered to us by believing in Christ Jesus. As it says in John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Sin comes like the thief and the robber, and it takes us, take men and women and young people, takes them away into eternal damnation, but the Bible says it to destroy us. But there's life mentioned. I am the way. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, that they might have life, might have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus doesn't just offer a form of life, it's abundant life. Yet you're still far from coming. From coming to Christ. From coming to Christ. And I pray that you will. Say, a preacher, having listened to Thomas's questions and listened here to Christ's simple answer, what's next? You need to get saved. Because if you trust God's way, you'll be led to eternal life. Because the answer to Thomas, Christ answers, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, but before that you can have life, way, truth, life. God's way leads to life. Sadly, there will be many disappointed people because they've walked some way which is not God's way. And God sets out before us his way to come to him. And if you come to him, the Bible says you can be born again. But if you do not come the way God sets out for us, the Bible says then you're lost. And if you're lost in eternity, you're without Christ. And as the Bible says in this, in the answer to Thomas, he's in the answer, no man, no person, no father, no mother, no grandfather, grandmother, son or daughter, or anything, can come to the Father in heaven except God's way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his righteousness. So what about you this evening? How do you stand before God? Are you saved? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you trusted in him for your salvation? Or tonight, are you still outside of Christ and going along that broad road? For many, the Bible says, will be that find that way. But praise God, Christ gives encouragement here to disciples. And then as Thomas asks the question, the confidence we can have in the simplicity of the gospel. Thomas was led to Christ. There. Just look to me. What a joy it is to be able to show someone their need of salvation. If they come to Christ, they can be born again. Praise God, the way of salvation is found in Christ. And that leads us to glory. You say, maybe preacher, well, where do I stand today? What about me? Say, preacher, I've never been saved, but how do I stand before God? If you say I'm not saved, you're outside of Christ. You're going out to a lost eternity. But if you'll just turn to Christ, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And trust him to be your own and personal Savior. Casting all your cares upon him. Knowing that we have a God who cares for us. And come to him, you can be born again. Thank you for spending time around God's word this evening. We're going to close with a short word of prayer. We thank you for taking the time to listen to God's precious word. Maybe you've got some concerns. Say, I'm not saved, I'd love to be saved. You may contact him. Someone will be happy to tell you more about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can be born again. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time spent around thy word. Bless it to our hearts, I pray, for those outside of Christ. Pray this gospel message will speak to their hearts. Draw them through for thee. We pray that there shall be showers of blessing this day. O Lord, I pray that as the message goes around us, around the internet, O Lord, may it be for the challenging of precious souls. And may as they hear the challenge of the message of the good news of the gospel, may they come to know Christ, who is life and life eternal. Thank you for this day. Bless us. Continue with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.